Pod Culture, episode 285, Guilty Geekers, for Thursday, September 15th, 2011. This episode of Pod Culture is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture. Hey guys, it's Brad. I'm flying solo once again here in the Pod Culture studio. What with all the end of summer wacky stuff like vacations, Dragon Con, unemployment, the Pod Culture crew wasn't able to get together for a regular recording. But fear not though, we still have a show full of all new stuff lined up just for you. What follows is several extra segments that we recorded during a previous session. Glenn has a double-barreled blast of guilty pleasures, and we have not one, but two geek cuisine segments all ready to rot your teeth. So kick back and enjoy the geekery. Who knows, there might just be a surprise or two thrown in there as well.
One, two, three, three! Ha 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 ha! I like to go.
When I was a young boy, I got my kicks from Sesame Street. Now that I'm getting older, so much older, I've learned the place ain't so sweet. Elmo's hooked on glue. Bob's in rehab too. Lord knows just what Grover went through, baby, to turn him blue. But here's the worst of all: Bert's no good. Even Ernie says that Bert's no good. Sometimes Oscar's misunderstood, but baby, Bert's no good. Don't practice safe sex or religion. He hides explosives in that unibrow of his, yeah. I caught him once doing the pigeon. I snuck it up on Figgy Fizz. I saw in plain view his Charlie Sheen tattoo. He's on the Muppet News, Flash News, baby. Assaulting Winnie the Pooh. He's quite the yellow. Bert's no good. Even monsters say that
Bert's no good.
Sometimes Snuffy bitch likes Big Bird, but baby, Bert's no good. That's not oatmeal he's brewing. And don't you dare leave crumbs in bed. And don't ask what he's doing upstairs with all those bottle caps. All day long, bottle caps. All day long.
I don't know what he brings. Is that a pigeon in your pants?
Bert's no good. Even Yoda says that
no good Bert is.
Oh, sometimes rhymes no don't work Bert like they should. The point is, Bert's no good. Bert's no good. Everybody knows that Bert's no good. Sometimes Kermit shoots up in the world, but baby, Bert's no good.
Thank you. All right, we are back out in the auxiliary studio once again.
The annex.
Well, we have a large group of folks, and with us now we got Nick.
Hi.
Richard.
Hey.
Andy.
Hey-ya.
And then, of course, I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Christina.
And Adam. Yeah, well, he's off doing whatever Adam does.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Whatever this serves.
At some point.
It's his birthday all year.
He'll either have just had one or about to have one.
Oh, yeah, well, he never
spread out the birthday.
Oh, timey-wimey. So, Glenn, you've brought us a guilty pleasure, and when you pulled it out, it seemed to be a very popular guilty pleasure.
And that doesn't happen very often. Like, usually he'll mention the name of a movie, and you hear crickets. You know, but every now and then, we're like, oh.
So, what do you have for us?
A true lost classic, not for quality classic reason, but mainly because it was lost, I think. Damnation Alley. Finally,
yay!
On DVD. Good this God. Thing, man, I've got such fond childhood memories of this movie, and it's finally released by Shout Factory, who I've been reviewing a lot of their movies, and they should send them to me for free.
And they do. We'll review job every single movies. One.
Yeah.
I mean, between these, the Roger Corman collection, classic television, they do a fantastic job on restoring and putting out these DVDs for movie collectors.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of Roger Corman, released the same day as Damnation Alley was Battle Beyond the Stars, the 30th anniversary special edition.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
God, so, it's been that long.
I know.
Damn, you're old, Nick.
Yeah.
So I've already reviewed Battle Beyond the Stars. I had to review a bootleg because I didn't have the real thing at the time, but now I now I proudly own it.
Now he's too legit.
Yeah.
Too legit to quit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I hate myself.
Damnation Alley. Two things people seem to remember about this. One, the Landmaster, the big tank vehicle they drive around. And the other are the giant cockroaches.
Ew.
I remember the cockroaches. I still.
I think I had some of those in my old apartment. What are you talking about?
I've been to New Orleans. They get really big down there.
Yeah.
Well, these are from Madagascar, apparently.
The giant hissing cockroaches?
They're real cockroaches.
Ew. Huge!
Except for the scenes where there's giant blankets of them just kind of being pulled across the floor by strings.
That looks a little obvious.
I think those were fake. But the others are real.
Blankets of cockroaches?
Yeah, they move in mass. It's just
if I had a pen and paper, I'd be writing down an episode title.
Was it like Creepshow? They had to actually have a corral master to count every one of them at the end of the day?
Oh, I'm sure you wouldn't want those in your environment.
Do you remember that with Creepshow they had to do that because they had to import these cockroaches for the last sequence. They actually had to account for every cockroach at the end of every day.
Like, everybody's going to miss one.
Ever noticed that this was released by 20th Century Fox, and I think they had actually, I remember they had actually thought that this was going to be their big movie of 1977.
Yeah.
There was that other little
that
film.
Little, yeah, that little science
film
fiction
in 77.
Film, yeah.
Yeah,
some
out.
Dude in flannel made.
Yeah. Whatever.
I was a baby.
Now, this was based on a book, which I haven't read, but I think it's Zelazny, Roger Zelazny book.
Huh.
Yes.
Ring a bell.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Yep.
And,
of course. That's the English teacher.
Yep, it was.
And like you said, they thought this was going to be a big movie for them. It has all the big natural disasters and effects and everything. But apparently the guy that was the producer of this movie, I learned from watching one of these special features. There's like three little featurettes included on the disc. He had been a producer, but he had been a producer that packaged things for television. He had never made a movie before.
Oh, wow.
So he got a hold of this, and then he got the studio to give it the green light. Yeah. And then it was like, okay, let's make it. And he didn't have everything in place. He wasn't ready. He didn't really know what he was doing. And they had to kind of... He's, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, we can make the special effects, you know. When are you going to start? And they're like, oh, we're going to start now. He's like, no, you do that like 2 years in advance or something, you know. You don't just like start making the movie, you know. So that's why a lot of the effects are kind of cheap and things. Even though it was a fairly big budget movie, it was kind of slapped together.
And they really built that Landmaster. It really did work, if I remember.
Yes.
Some stuff about that. It was built and it had it. You know, full. It was a full, fully functional vehicle. It wasn't just a model being rolled across, you know, planes, but it was a real vehicle.
It can go over all sorts of terrain, goes like 60 miles an hour or something.
Wow.
It has a weird wheel assembly that's three wheels in a triangle shape, and when it hits something, it just rotates forward, so it can just crawl over stuff. And the way it's steered is actually, it would bend in the middle. And so it kind of is weird the way... They said that you could hit a huge rock or a huge hole or anything, and because of the way it was broken in the middle, it would just kind of counterbalance itself. And it was a pretty smooth ride.
Sounds like independent torque suspension.
Yeah. Well, it's more like slinky suspension. So that's the coolest thing for me, was the vehicle. But watching it again, boy, the beginning of it's really slow. I mean, really slow. And really, as much as I love the movie, all right, it starts out, there's a... nuclear war, you know, it's the end of the world, basically. It's a post-apocalyptic movie. And everyone's just kind of standing there watching the little animation of the rockets come, and okay, let's launch the rockets, and they just turn the keys and launch the rockets, and it's like there's no emotion or drama or anything. It's like this is just a necessary part of the movie that they had to put in to show, you know, how the world ended, but you know, if they remade this, they could actually maybe put a little tension into the end of the world, you know? I mean,
people
a little pathos.
You know?
Hey, all those red things are coming right at us. Cool.
Make a good movie.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it could be cool.
But I remember this one when it came out, too, and I saw it at the drive-in, and I was impressed by all the visual of it. I mean, it was...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I knew some of the cast because there were some well-known people in it, but you know, the vehicle was neat. And even with the cheesy effects, the camera, the set designs, and the colors, and the landscapes. It was a very visual movie, and yeah, it was crap, but that's why it's a guilty pleasure, right?
Right, right. I mean, like I said, I've been dying to get this thing.
Hey, sci-fi could get a hold of it.
Oh, yeah.
And ruin it.
Well, I just think it's cool that after so long, there are behind-the-scenes special features that you can have on the DVD, because back then, they didn't have stuff set aside for, you know, like, now they'll do things as they're making the movie because they know there's going to be behind-the-scenes stuff on DVDs. Back then, they didn't do that.
Well, the behind-the-scenes on this are the trailer, a TV spot, and then three newly made things. One's an interview with the producer, one's an interview with one of the writers, and the other one's an interview with the man that actually made the Landmaster.
That's so cool.
So, still cool that they went through the trouble to get them all together and you know, explore the making of something so long ago.
Well, hooray for Shout Factory.
Yeah.
Because they do that. Even on the Cormans, the features on Galaxy of Terror were extensive.
Yes.
Extensive.
And I watched them all.
Yes. I mean, that was longer than the movie, watching all the stuff.
Yeah.
And then the stuff that, the Death Ray 2000 stuff was excellent. They dug up an interview with David Carradine. Not even a year before he passed away, and he was talking about the cult following of Death Race 2000. So, I mean, they go through great lengths for us, the movie buff, to dig up everything they can relevant and putting it in these things. So they're very lovingly done.
Mm-hmm. And the package is nice. When you open it up, the inside's clear, and there's a giant picture of the Landmaster in there, so that's kind of cool.
Sweet.
I like that. It has George Peppard. Jan Michael
dun,
Benson.
Dun, 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 dun.
Some chick that we've never seen again.
She's French. Who cares?
And a little boy in it, Jackie Earle Haley.
I can't believe it.
It's Guerrero.
Like teenage Guerrero.
Or
Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger. Rorschach.
Rorschach.
From The Watchmen.
Bad News Bears. All kinds of things at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's just funny to say, oh, that was him.
And, he's going to be in the new Dark Shadows movie, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
I think he's playing Willie Loomis.
Which I think he'll be great.
Speaking of Dark Shadows, I saw on, there's a fan site, well, it's not a fan site, it's a semi-unofficial website called collinwood.net, and they're keeping up with movie news for the new show. They've got stuff for the old show as well, the other incarnations of Dark Shadows, but a report that they filed has Christopher Lee being cast in it now as in a part. They didn't say what part. It kind of figures because Tim Burton always brings in his regulars.
Yeah.
But the primary Dark Shadows cast has been made already.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quite sure who's going to be yet, but that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, I know I got off topic here.
No,
but,
Just one more line to Christopher Lee's IMDb, over 200 there already.
It's Jackie Earle Haley's fault. But yeah, she'd be interesting as a Willie Loomis.
I think he'd be great, yeah.
Yeah.
And Christopher Lee had a small part in Season of the Witch.
Really?
Well.
Really, I didn't know that.
Cool.
The Nicolas Cage. She's in the Witch.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage.
But you own every movie.
Well, no, because I am an aficionado of Christopher Lee's movies, and I've got...
Everything.
Well, not everything, because he's very extensive, but I've got over 60 of Lee's films.
Wow.
And
it's easier to list movies you don't
about
have.
About as many of Cushing's movies.
He even did
and
the
And a large list of Hammer films, too, so I'm all about Christopher Lee.
He did the behind-the-scenes bit on the Phantom of the Opera DVD release. He did a bit from, actually, Under the Opera House. He did a whole thing. Christopher Lee, like totally random. It's like, who would... He did a good job.
Of course he did.
He was 110 back then.
He's got a good voice.
Yeah.
So, I'm ecstatic. This is a new widescreen transfer, and it looks good.
I know what Nick will be buying probably soon.
Yeah, I'm going to put them all as soon as I get home.
Yep. Oh, you have to wait till Tuesday.
Just looked it up on IMDb. Christopher Lee has 274... hits on as an actor on IMDb.
Wow.
274 roles in a film.
Damn.
Not one of them a bit part.
No.
So, thumbs up?
Yeah, thumbs up. I mean, you know, if you know what you're getting into. I mean, it's 1977.
It's Jim Michael Vincent with a mullet.
Jim Michael Vincent. Jim Michael Vincent running around on a dirt bike through most of the movie.
Nice.
I did find out something. They said that Steve McQueen was up for one of the roles originally, and he wanted $2 million to appear in it, and they wouldn't pay him that.
In 1977.
Yeah, they wouldn't pay him that, so he left the project. So,
trip down memory lane. Yep. God, I remember this movie.
Wow.
Damnation.
Thanks, Glenn. That was awesome.
Yeah,
cool. And, you know, you get to see giant radioactive scorpions and giant cockroaches. And,
I think everything must be radioactive, though, if everything gets nuked.
Yeah, they don't really get into that too much.
Wouldn't everything be radioactive?
That's inconvenient, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't work with the storm.
Out the window, yeah.
Basically, they're in a bunker for 2 years, then they... get out and start traveling around.
Oh, wow.
And just ignore the radiation. That's not really an issue at that point.
Oh, that's healthy.
Yeah, well.
Yes.
I guess they got their iodine pills or whatever. Right. You know, they're cool. So, Damnation Alley, yeah, look it up. Try to find it. Support Shop Factory. Buy a copy. And
buy two. Give one to your parents for Christmas.
There you go.
My dad would like this.
They probably saw it at the drive-in.
My parents said that's
what you probably made was...
They were wrong.
Necessary. Leave Glenn's parents alone.
And while you're at it, pick up Battle Beyond the Stars, because you can. Don't be stupid like me and wait too long until it's out of print again. So, you know.
You got
right now.
All right, now forever bootleg.
Yay. Thank you, Glenn.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, and we will be back with more of the show right after we bleach our brains.
Welly, whatever is that contraption?
It is called a nook.
Just a moment. You're reading Night's Plutonian Shore by Jack Mangan.
And I have Dust on the Davenport by O.M. Gray queued up next.
What a brilliant notion. Tales from the Archives, available as Penny Dreadfuls.
What?
You're quite right, Welly. Available as 99 Penny Dreadfuls.
Hold on. These are still classified documents.
Strike up the music. Announcers, if you please.
The 99 Penny Dreadfuls. Where did you come from? Steampunk short stories from Phil Rossi, Nathan Lowell, Valerie Griswold Ford, and many others. Available for 99 cents. How did you get down here? With an orchestra.
Visit the Kindle store at Amazon.com, the Nook store at BarnesandNoble.com, or Smashwords.com.
Please leave.
Or visit the short stories page at MinistryofPeculiarOccurrences.com.
We are back with some more geek cuisine, and still out in the auxiliary studio since we have such a large crowd.
I think they can hear.
Who are you calling large?
You take that back
you?
Right now.
Pound for pound.
You lunchbox.
Shame.
We're big boys.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about it.
I'm not bad at Big Ben.
But yes, we have Nick.
Howdy ho!
Richard.
Howdy.
Andy.
You can cut it, you bastard.
Oh my god.
Glenn.
Hello.
Christina.
Hiya.
And I'm Brad. It's like with Dr.
You certainly
Who.
Are.
They keep killing Rory. You bastards.
Yeah.
But yes, this is Geek Cuisine, and we are back with Candy Cane Pop Drops.
Yay!
Candy Cane Pop Drops. Yes.
Out of season.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's
why they were cheap.
That's why, okay.
Not very long, though.
So, are Pop Drops normally flavored like a soda, maybe? Soda pop?
No, they usually, Tootsie Roll Pop.
Yeah, they're like Tootsie Roll Pops with no stick.
Okay. Yeah, right. It would be a little drop of Tootsie Roll Center, and then the candy pop without the stick, yeah.
So these are peppermint flavor with chewy Tootsie Roll centers. Tootsie Pops without the stick.
I'm not sure about peppermint and Tootsie Roll, but we'll see.
Hey, mint chocolate. Everything with Tootsie Roll is delicious, yeah.
So let's, give me a couple of these here.
I made chocolate chip cookies and
they kind of look like bloodshot eyeballs.
And they were excellent. Did you make, you made them from scratch, didn't you?
So oh, yeah, good. Right.
She scratched herself open in the bag.
What? No. No, but on Facebook, my friend Tracy said that she had made some with Rolos.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. So I think next time I'm going to try that.
Yes, please.
Oh, just give me a call. We'll do a TI that night.
Okay.
We can come over for a regular recording, too.
I am.
Well, that's true.
Ooh. You want a book?
But when we do a TI, I feel like actually I know something.
They do look like... excuse me.
They look like some little toy from the 60s or something.
Oh, they look like those beach. Well, that reminds me of that British movie with Mona Mitra in it. She had a fake eyeball.
I'd say it looked kind of like a bloodshot eyeball.
I just watched it.
It's good.
Doomsday.
Oh, it's a good opera.
Yeah, just do out of that Netflix and, yeah, okay. That's a guilty, guilty pleasure.
I've got it on DVD.
I mean, it's definitely an artificial peppermint flavor.
No, it tastes like the Starbucks.
But it cleanses the palate after pizza.
Yeah.
And the gummy worms.
Oh, good. Ooh, very strong taste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's cleansing to the palate, yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you enjoying listening to us suck on candy? It's very enlightening, isn't it?
Yeah, there you do it after a while.
Far enough away from the microphone that you don't hear quite so much. Yeah, exactly.
Some smacking.
The hard candy ones take a little longer because we gotta gotta work.
Well, how many lifts does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Oh,
one.
Three.
I bit mine in half.
And there was no Tootsie in it.
It's very, very tiny.
You get a tiny Tootsie.
That's very, very tiny.
You just couldn't suck to the center?
Walk away, boy. Walk away.
Oh, God. Wow.
I'm not even going to go there.
Nope.
I don't like being a token girl.
But you are token girl.
You know, if you had to bite to the center, it just sounds like you were in a hurry.
Ow.
You know, take your time.
Oh, my God.
Brad's now in a fetal position. I don't know why.
Rocking.
So yeah, these are actually pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I haven't gotten to the center yet, though. I'm still kind of working on it.
Why don't you take
your suck harder?
Ooh. Okay.
Ooh.
There's a reward at the center, I'm sure.
Oh.
I don't know. Ask Christina. She knows.
Andy, can I go home with you?
To all you kids out there, we're just talking about candy.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
There's a reason why we don't have
I'll
a clean
hang out with
on
Mrs. Freehold.
Mrs. Freehold and you and... Okay, yeah, we're going to have to have
we need to
fix that.
Yeah, we need to have it, yeah.
You know, this is kind of a mellow flavor, you know? It's not like...
It doesn't hurt.
Like you get at the restaurants, those overpowering ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not Altoids peppermint, that's for sure.
No. I like it.
I'm glad they finally made
it. Well, it was very strong at first, but it has died off.
It's kind of pleasant. It's not, it's not overpowering.
It's a little subdued.
I don't like a peppermint that just sits in your face. This one's kind of pleasant. Mm-hmm. Imagine it's to the Tootsie Pop center, or Tootsie Pop.
Oh, I just got to the center.
You did?
I did. He sucks faster than us. Like, okay, that's only taking, 5 minutes?
Got to the
center.
The molten lava center there, Professor Stallman.
Mm-hmm.
One or two of you might get that one.
Okay, I figure about 10 minutes you can get to the center and finish it off.
I got tolerance, so I just bit into it.
It just gets stuck.
Don't even go there.
Too late.
Oh. Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah. I'm glad I took two.
So, yeah. Well, you can have more, too. We got a whole bag of them sitting over here.
Yeah. I got to work them out of my teeth.
So candy...
No, you leave them over there.
So, candy cane, nice Tootsie box. Pop Drops, peppermint flavor, chewy Tootsie Roll Center.
Give me the box. Mm-hmm.
You want the box?
Yes, please.
All right.
I don't want to eat any. I just want
to get
the box.
So, I think
Jesus you said...
I give him a thumbs up. Everybody else?
Sure.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And we will be back with more of the show right after we have some more Tootsie Pop Drops.
Anything, you know, because he was like totally famous with that awesome scar on his head, and he was like totally all alone. And he was super, super nice. He was just so
young. Miss Weasley, she's depressed. Old Tom Riddle's got her possessed. She found this book, she was unaware that he put a whole bunch of evil in there.
Anyway, he goes like, "Hi, I'm Tom Riddle, and this is my diary." And I'm all like, I like told him how my brothers like totally tease me all the time, and how I like have to wear secondhand robes. I am so sure.
Harry's girl, she's Harry's girl. Harry's girl, she's Harry's girl. She lost her mind, she lost her nerve, but she's Harry's girl, and he'll rescue her. There's vital signs, he will ensure she's a...
It's really sad.
Harry's girl.
Our new defense teacher, Professor Lockhart. And he like totally lost control of the class. It's like totally embarrassing. I'm like so sure. It's like, who let these out? Bag the whole room.
First year, she's still awful shy. Anytime Harry J. Potter walks by, her face turns red just like her hair. Can't say a word, just too dang scared.
So like, I go to this like bookstore place, you know, and I wanted to like get my books for school, and they're all like totally expensive, and like my dad like doesn't have any money at all. It was like really embarrassing. And Harry's like, "Here, take my book." And he's like totally sweet, and I was like really embarrassed.
Harry girl, she's Harry girl. Harry girl, she's Harry girl. Years go by, she's found her curve. Now she's Harry's girl with her moldy purse. She's last in line, she don't like yours.
Total dweeb. He's like freaking out that I kiss anyone. And he's like never even had a date. I am sure that's like pathetic. R-O-T-F-L-O-L. O-M-G. Hi. Uh-huh. My name is Ginevra Weasley. Uh-huh. That's right, Ginevra. Uh-huh. Like Ginny for short. you know who totally after Harry. Harry's like, pretend you don't know me, Ginny. It's like too risky. Risky to the max, I'm sure. It's like really exasperating. Like, get out. Get me a normal boyfriend. But I am sure. Oh, Harry.
All right, we are back. Yes, back once again, and as you can tell, we are out in the Pop Culture Theater, known as the living room. Just kicking back, we have we got a bunch of people that aren't normally with us. We got Nick.
Hello,
with us.
How are you?
Richard.
Howdy.
Andy.
Hi, guys.
And then, of course, there's the usual gang of idiots.
I'm Deb.
I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn. And this is... Guilty Pleasures.
Guilty Pleasures, man.
And this one's not as guilty as some of them. It's actually from this decade. This century.
With actors we've
unlike
heard
of. Unlike a lot of the other movies that I review. This is actually brand new. Came out like a week or so ago on DVD. Depending on when this airs.
Dang, this movie is younger than my car. Crap.
We have The Warrior's Way. Now, you guys mostly weren't familiar with it. I had seen a trailer and was like, oh, that looks cool. And I happened to just go to Best Buy and they had a deal. If you bought another movie and this one, you get like $5 off or whatever. I was like, oh, hey, that's the movie I saw the trailer. And I was like, I want to get that. You know, mm-hmm. So I went ahead and picked it up. And I'm glad I did. It's a stylish production that's like half Korean, half like Australian or something. I mean, it's an odd mixture. But that's good because it's basically... Cowboys versus ninjas.
I love it. I'm in.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
As opposed to Aliens, which comes out later this year.
I want
right.
that.
Then you get the sequel, Cowboys versus Aliens versus Ninjas.
No, Cowboys versus Aliens zombies. Predator.
Yeah.
Aliens versus Astronaut.
So, you know, that'll suck.
So, The Warrior's Way was everything I thought it was going to be. It was stylish, lots of action, lots of over-the-top people flying through the air, wireworks kind of stuff. But the cowboys were kind of neat because their costumes were very, very anime. You know, very overly stylized, lots of cool stuff. Actually, they looked a lot like Timothy Truman's drawing, if you were familiar yep. with, like, Grimjack yep. or something like that. It has that kind of art style for the old 80s comics fans.
I like the Phantom-y cowboy with the mask.
Yeah, that's the
Enjoying
colonel.
That.
That's the colonel. He gets his face messed up and wears a little half mask.
Nice.
Little goatee, white hair, makes a lot of chicken.
I win.
No, not that colonel. This is more like the Phantom of KFC.
Oh, boo.
This is
the
Phantom of
the
chicken.
This is the Paul McCartney.
Basically, you've got a... I won't give every detail away, but... there's a guy, there's two warring ninja clans, and they won't stop till one clan's dead. And this one guy, the greatest swordsman, has managed to kill all the other clan except for this one little girl, infant.
Ooh.
And he has a change of heart and doesn't want to kill her. And so then his clan is after him, because they say this feud will go on until the other bloodline is stopped. So he goes to America to try to get away, and that's how it becomes a Western. And so he has to settle into this really odd Western town where they have this idea of, instead of being a traveling circus, maybe they can settle down and make a giant circus there
cool.
that people will come to.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry.
Okay. Like a hero.
Keep the Doctor Who yeah. for later, guys.
Like a hero.
So, like I said, it's style more than anything, but... there's some really unique, neat characters, lots of cool costuming and weapons and things. And
it's got a cool cast. I mean,
yeah.
Jeffrey Rush does not know he loves me yet.
Well, that's one of the things that really sold me on it. I was like, okay, they're going out of their way to get a good cast.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, to get a good cast. Because Jeffrey Rush is not going to do a movie he doesn't believe in.
Right.
Right. And he's great. He plays basically the town drunk.
Nice.
I won't go into it.
He plays
Otis? also as Kate Bosworth, which if there's any longtime listeners, they'll recall me complaining about her as Lois Lane in Superman Returns.
Okay, she can't be any worse in here than she was as Lois Lane, because she did a god-awful Lois Lane.
I did not like her as Lois Lane because she was so young and pretty, and she was supposed to be, what, Margot Kidder's Lois Lane year after Superman's been gone for years, and she's had a kid?
Sinisterly looking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and this doesn't make any sense.
She wasn't as ballsy either.
No, no. But I will say that I really liked her in this. She, you know, hams it up a little bit, but she's a good character, she does a good job, and she's nice to look at, so that doesn't hurt. But, so anything bad I said about her, I still holds true for Superman Returns, but she's really good at this.
You're very gracious.
Thank you. And the main actor is a Korean star who's done mainly serious work.
He's kind of pretty.
So hopefully this would be a good crossover thing that will do well, you know, in Asian countries and here in the West. And maybe
we need a new Jackie Chan. Like, he's getting kind of up there.
Oh, he's fine. I like in the preview. I like the colors that they use. I just like that it's kind of like hyper color. That it's not just flat.
A little super saturated.
Dirty, it's not like old West dirty Deadwood kind of dark. It's really cool looking.
Like I said, it was very anime brought to life.
Yeah.
And of course, this is the modern era, and 300 is behind us, and everyone's doing green screen everything. But it really works. For the budget, they're able to make a nice western town and lots of all sorts of cool scenery and, you know, do it on the cheap.
Yeah, you can do that stuff if it's done right and you don't look like you're just standing in front of...
Earlier, and Spartacus was cool because until I saw the special features on the DVD, I had no idea that Spartacus is completely studio-bound.
Wow.
Because the artificial sets and the lighting... looks like outside. So if you do it right, you can have artificial scenery and you can believe that it's real.
Some things,
like 300, is so stylized and so obviously false.
Right.
And it takes it away.
Right. This finds a happy medium. I mean, it's not totally real, but as you said, the coloring and everything was kind of stylized anyway, and it helps them really expand that to the whole world because they control the background.
Yeah, what I saw, I thought it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it does look good.
So it's, you know, it's a fun action movie. There are some dark themes. It's not really a kids movie, but it's not too horribly bad.
What's it rated?
I guess
PG-13.
No,
there's too much swordplay.
Although nowadays 13 is the new 20.
Not like in Pulp Fiction. Well,
I don't see a rating on there.
Well, from what I saw, it looked like a strong PG-13.
Yeah.
I'd let my kids watch it.
I don't have any kids.
I have a dog.
Let your dog watch.
I'll let my kid watch it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Fed your kid zombie jerky.
Yeah, I did. As long as there's no gratuitous sex and violence and it has a point and purpose and we're okay with it.
Yeah. Well, there's a, you know, an attempted rape scene that's pretty strong. But other than that,
the Old West. You know,
but it's the Old West. That happened every other Tuesday.
That happened every cow that came. Wait.
That's
just not right.
There's a little making of montage.
Yeah, I love that. It actually says montage. That was awesome.
And then there's a lot of deleted scenes, which actually I haven't had a chance to watch yet. So hopefully I'll sit down and watch the deleted scenes here.
Is that available on Blu-ray as well?
I believe it is on Blu-ray as well.
It looks like it's really
pretty.
$5 off on something else too.
Yeah, it was something that came out the same week, and I can't remember. Oh, I think it was Season of the Witch.
Oh,
Nicholas Cage. Okay, not the Halloween Season of the Witch.
No.
Best forgotten. Silver Shamrock.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah, so don't feel too guilty if you check out
Jeffrey Rush.
The Warriors
it's gotta be
Way.
Okay.
Yeah,
I had actually remembered the previews from this on, you know, seeing them on TV or in a movie theater, and thought I don't want to watch this, and had forgotten about it until you showed us.
Which is why we have
fun
to remind us of good stuff.
All the odd stuff.
Do have some reward zone certificates.
We're saving that up for Tuesday.
What's Tuesday?
If we're getting Doctor Who.
Are we doing that? Wait for the box set
this fall.
Alrighty, on that note, it sounds like the pizza's here, so we will be back with more pod culture right after we get our grub on.
My name is Lou Sitzma.
I'm the one responsible.
I introduced Karen to Farscape.
She got sucked into the series big time.
Now we're doing this podcast together.
I've created a monster.
Reviewing all 88 episodes and the 4-hour miniseries.
That's a lot of podcasts.
At the end, will it be enough for her?
It has to be.
But the thing that scares me most?
My biggest fear.
Is by the time we get to the end.
Hope we can make it.
Will the two of us still be on talking terms?
It could get ugly.
Good thing, the journey is sure to be a blast.
Lots of great scaper conversations.
Captured in these chronicles, so you can know.
The wondrous things that we've heard.
Put on your leather pants and reload your pulse pistol.
I'm on another planet.
What the frill?
I hate this stuff.
Chicks love it.
Can I get a hell yeah?
It's my duty, my breeding, since birth. It's what I am.
You can be more.
Escape Cast, your guide to the wonders of Farscape.
Listen to the Scapecast Chronicles at scapecast.org.
Okay, we are back with a little geek cuisine, and yes, we are still out in the living room because we have a crowd to record. We have... I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Christina.
And, of course, we have Andy. Yay.
Substituting for Adam, I guess.
Yeah.
Stuck Adam.
And Nick.
Hello.
And Richard.
Hi there.
And you all were digging in the pantry a little bit ago, Glenn.
I don't think you have to be a substitute for anybody.
Yeah, I pretty much think you're on the crew. So we
email address all of a sudden.
Well, I can get you one.
That's right. Don't worry about it.
Let's see. What did you pull out? Oh my God. Wonka.
He's still pulling out stuff.
Wonka Sluggles gummies.
Ew.
Yeah.
Wait. Let me see. Is it saying Sluggles?
Sluggles.
Okay.
Can't be that bad.
Yeah.
Speaking of
that.
Assorted fruit flavor gummies.
Slimy and
made with
slimy.
Natural ingredients and 25% real fruit juice. Ew.
Okay.
No MSG and no.
Probably a lot of HFCS or HCS.
What?
HF.
High fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have corn syrup, so I'm going to grab a couple and pass them around.
That's what the other 75% is.
Probably.
I want to eat a worm like Aria. Not really. I'm going to take two.
Take two, they're small.
And we'll see if these can be jelly baby substitutes. No.
So, Glenn, is this one of the things that Carly found somewhere?
No, it looks like a bug.
I believe so.
They're not a bug, they're slugs.
Hey,
they're
these
slugs.
Are mating.
Oh, that's not right.
These are amazing.
Well, I thought that these Wonka cans are usually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, these two are definitely slug shit. This one looks like a slug that has been had salt poured on.
Yeah, this one's a little twitch, but I think it was meant to.
I got an escargot.
Is it a flat one like mine?
Yeah, it's a flat one.
I don't really understand
it. This is slug after it's been salted.
Yeah.
It's a ringworm.
It's more like a trilobite.
I just lost my appetite
entirely.
It looks
entirely. A bit
leechy. This one has a tumor. Leechy,
leechy.
Not the tumor.
Thank you.
Okay,
so. Okay,
so. Yeah, maybe not bad.
Mm. You've got
like
the butter sauce.
Slimy, yet satisfying.
I said that already.
I didn't hear you say that.
I know you didn't. You never hear me.
It's got a very sour. Ooh.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a.
Yeah.
Kind of make your butt pucker a little bit.
Oh my God.
Oh, the sphincter.
The sphincter.
They actually have three. You have two and one in each eye.
Ooh. I mean, awful sequel.
Yeah,
it's fine. Oh, sorry, a sphincter where else?
You have sphincters in your eyes.
That sphincter says what?
No, I'm not going to go
there. It's part of your eyes that open the
boogie. That's a sphincter, too?
No, that's disturbing. Well, okay, you know
what? The things you learn on this podcast.
Yeah, so you could call someone ass face.
I'm a super geek. I can't help.
Super geek.
Doesn't one's lips mimic a sphincter?
When I was little,
where's
a super geek? Super geek. She's super geek.
When my brother was little, I used to get in trouble for calling him an asshole. Because when he was younger, he was an asshole, but I'd get yelled at for that because I'm older. And
now he's Sam Witwicky.
So I'd call him a sphincter, and my mom did not know what that was, so I did not get in trouble. So I'd call him Spank and he'd scream, but she wouldn't know what that meant, so I would get away with it.
It's like calling somebody a wanker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I found that very useful.
Uh-huh.
Sphincter.
Okay. Yeah. So. So back to the gummies.
Yeah.
They're not the sphincter tasting, but they're pretty good.
They're good. Mm-hmm.
They got a very strong flavor to them. They're not weak like a lot of these gummy candies.
Well, they're wonky candies.
I wonder if you can put them in some kind of pudding. You know,
we got some pudding.
Some sweet.
Why?
Well, we had fish sticks and pudding.
Where do you come up with this stuff?
Maybe Jell-O.
Everything was better with
pudding.
Oh,
Jell-O.
Yeah, and Jell-O.
It's me putting it with
Jell-O.
Ice cream.
Yeah, she puts ice cream on everything.
I would not put these with ice cream.
Actually, yeah, putting these and a little Jell-O shots at Halloween would be a cute little candy thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and a little shot glass of vodka. That might help.
Yeah. What the
Halloween party.
Oh, that would be good. Pass out Jell-O shots to the neighborhood.
Here you go,
kid.
Kiddies.
Get the popular to the police when they come.
There'll be a line at the door all night.
We have like one person knocking our door at Halloween.
It's really sad.
That's why Brad buys a metric ton of candy, because he knows there's only one kid coming.
See, that's the thing. That
and like the 1 or 2 years over at the old house that I didn't buy candy, the little fucker knocked on the door.
Get off my yard!
Oh, just give him an apple.
We'll do like grumpy old man, pick up something and drop it in the bag. You know, here's a stapler. You know.
Oh God, I'm
he would.
So yeah, Wonka Snuggles Gummies. Sluggles.
Snuggles. Little bears.
You know,
Wonka. Wonka also, cat gummies.
Wonka
Snuggles.
Gummies. I say it also doubles as a fabric softener.
Oh my God.
That is an evil bear, I tell you. So Wonka Sluggles Gummies. Candy. So I get the thumbs up.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, anything,
I'm going back for some more.
Yeah, pass the bag around.
Thank
you. Pass the gummies on the right hand side.
You put a giant hole in the bag.
And we will be back with more of the show. Right after we eat all the gummies.
How about sharing one more coconut cream pie? How about skinny dipping down by the shore? How about spending more time repairing the minnow? Who packs brandy or gowns on a 3-hour tour? How about having horse in or don't
Well, that about wraps up things for this patchwork episode of Pod Culture. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We definitely will be getting back into a regular recording schedule very soon, and we have a couple of special audio treats lined up for you guys and gals too. So thank you so much for listening. I am out of here.
Theme music for Pod Culture provided by the band Beatnik Turtle. Check out the band and their other great music online at beatnikturtle.com.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are many different ways.
You can email us feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That's 812-672-4POD.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.